Number one is staying long in, especially on your first work, staying long under the good wings. Learn the classics. Start from, you know, building from the bottom and up.
Je luistert naar Heirloom de podcast. Hier delen de chefs van over de hele wereld hun nog niet eerder gehoorde verhalen. We beginnen bij het begin. Het harde werken, de offers en natuurlijk momenten van twijfel. Daarna kijken we vooruit. Wat zijn hun dromen en welke inzichten willen ze met jou delen? Welcome to
Thank
the
you.
Podcast series. It's going to be my first podcast for this Heirloom podcast.
So amazing.
First guest for me. What's your name? Can you tell me who you are?
I'm George Kataras. I'm a chef and co-owner of Q Amsterdam. We're sitting here by the bar at Q. And I started with this baby about 9 months ago. We have a listening bar in the basement. We have amazing restaurant on the ground floor. And we're walking our path here in Amsterdam.
Amazing place, the listening bar. You already invited me 10 times. So from now, it's now on tape. I will play some records here. Upstairs, the restaurant, again, like world class. But what is your specialty? What is your favorite thing or your best thing to make?
I'm recently focusing on the craft, on the craftsmanship. So I stand behind the craft, and this is what I want to pass to my guys, to the next generation of chefs. And I believe this is what makes sense to do in 2025.
Yeah,
26 soon. I'm originally Greek. I come from Athens. I live in 7 different countries and I cook for amazing restaurants, a lot of them best of the world. And I cherry pick what I learned, techniques and mostly philosophy. And now...
Is that because you're a Greek?
Can be.
Can be, maybe can, it's very rooted.
I don't overthink. Can be that. And now I'm putting into practice those techniques. Of course, I filter them down and I make it my own with mostly Dutch produce.
Yeah, because now you're in Holland. You've traveled the world. But you're talking about craft. Like before we talked outside, you said you're going to Japan. Yeah, you're going to have a sushi course. We talked about craft, like from sharpening the knives to getting the right rice to getting the most perfectly fish. That's Japan. What were the challenges when you were cooking in with Dutch food, like Dutch produce?
I mean, Dutch produce is amazing, but when it comes to craft and serving guests, you have to educate, I believe, a little bit the clientele, the guests that they're walking through the door.
Yeah.
I mean, that's challenging.
Not to be like outsmarting everybody, you just educating. That's another...
Educating. Yeah. You know, simple stuff, they're the most difficult to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And a small detail... into a simple stuff and guest experience is everything, I believe. Yeah. Especially nowadays.
As having a restaurant. So because you're co-owner, you're patron cuisinier, cooking and having a restaurant. What are your challenges, like running the restaurant or being...
I mean, they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
I mean, in order to serve my food, I do need to have my own restaurant. So that creates the flexibility and the freedom to do what you like to do, what you love to do. And then, of course, you have to be smart, especially again in our days, how you run the business.
Yeah.
And it's challenging. The world is getting crazy around us. So, yeah, it's a fine balance.
Can you approach that the same as building your craft? Because
it is also a craft.
Yeah, it's something.
To be a businessman is also a craft. Can be also very creative. Is different. We don't think that is a business owner is creative, but at the end of the day, you are very. You know, you see, you adjust, you monitor.
Yeah, you can call it creative. You can also call it flexible. Like you have to get to a certain path to have like the right?
I mean, to me, creativity comes, it depends how everybody is working, but creativity comes when you in a difficult position, when you very close to your threshold and something unexpected happened.
Yeah.
This is when creativity comes.
And you have it as a chef.
I think so.
And it comes very handy when running a restaurant.
Exactly. You need to adjust and micro-adjust within the adjustments.
For me, it didn't work. But I can imagine, like, if you're very focused and focused on, like, being a chef, but also as an entrepreneur, those things can go hand in hand.
Yeah, of course, there can be a tough, you know, you need to have a strong stomach and can be challenging. And of course, you have some friction, but you should have this in mind before you even start.
Because I think this is a very big passion project of yours, like having
Correct.
Your own place. When did it start? Not even the restaurant Q, but when did you know you had a passion for this and building up to the restaurant?
I mean, I never thought that I would ever own a restaurant or I would be at that level.
Mm-hmm.
I was always facing, let's say, life and career step by step, you know, month by month, day by day, etc. So I started as a musician since very very young age because of my dad. And then while I was working to a restaurant, a bar to support myself, sustain myself financially while I was studying, I discovered that I like hospitality. And then I start studying, I drop music and I start studying cooking. And then the rest is history. I start working for very good restaurants abroad in different countries for great chefs. And from one point and after, I was like, okay, if they can do it, I can also do. And then I had the chance couple of years ago, I think it's been five years, I took over a place called Van der Veen, which was a cafe, basically, in Amsterdam Zuid, you know, in a corner that stuff like that, they don't belong in there. I started cooking. I was very lucky. A lot of my friends from all over the world, basically, lost their jobs because of Corona. So then I invite them to come over.
Mm-hmm.
We slept together all in the same apartment, and then we start cooking and serving guests over there. Within, if I remember well, 1.5 year, we had a Michelin star. But then we couldn't keep up the depths of Corona, so then shortly after the star, we had to close down.
It was very quick after, huh?
Yeah, it was quick.
I think this was the epiphany of quitting at your highest.
Yeah.
But it's one of the worst things, like, for hospitality, I think, Corona.
Yeah, indeed. And people still struggling today with depths left from Corona.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole world is struggling still.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
And to have a good running restaurant, I think it deserves more respect than a lot of years ago. But it's tough. But like I said, your passion project now is building up this. So after Van der Veen, but you travel a lot, right?
I mean, I've always been traveling. I've always been doing guest shifts or events, call it as you want, mm-hmm. all over the place. And I sustained myself for more than a year, I believe.
Yeah.
Then I partner up with people from Alba. I design and I'm still designing the menu there. I have a few of my guys working and running the project. And then with their help, we found this place. And of course, with the help of my investors and the friends around the city, we start building that.
We're going to shoot later inside of the restaurant. It's amazing. But for now, we talked a little bit about it before, but what are your biggest challenges now? Is it food cost? Is it rent? Is it what's something that keeps you awake?
I mean, we living in a in the West. So it's we in a Western society, yeah. and people, they're going to consume a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's slightly changing, but it's difficult to convince people to come in here when they like to go out all the time.
Yeah.
So they rather have a lot of mediocre experience than two or three good ones.
Yeah.
And also priorities. Like, I rather prefer, for instance, to have one pair of good shoes than five average ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's this is how most of the people facing nowadays dining scene. They're gonna go out two or three times per week instead of going once to a good place.
Yeah, and that's
because again, it is not cheap.
No,
it is not cheap to go and dine good in the city.
It shouldn't.
Yeah,
there's a lot of work involved. There's a whole team that needs to be supported. There's all the costs that have to be made.
Exactly.
And yeah, good stuff doesn't come cheap.
Exactly, like, that.
On everything. But it depends on what your average is. Is that also the least likable thing about your work? Like, have to explain every time why stuff is expensive? Because that's basically the basic reaction people have, like fine dining, it's too expensive.
Yeah, I mean, people walking through the door, they experience, they know where they're coming, yeah, and what to expect. And as you're walking into the building, sitting down and see the surroundings, you understand what's going on. So yeah, I don't have to explain to people why things are cost a certain amount of money, but no. It is difficult to find, to have a big pool of clients and make the business consistent.
Yeah.
So this is the difficulty now of running a restaurant. You basically have to be consistent, because all the payments, they also have to be consistent. The payments to the bank, the payments to the state, the payments for, I don't know, the staff members, they yeah. all have to be consistent at the end of the month when the clients, they only want to come on the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're open.
Exactly.
A lot of the, how, 5 days a week?
Yeah, we open now 5 days per week.
Yeah, and I think that's the struggle in the whole of Netherlands, I think.
It is, yeah.
What is the best thing about your job?
I mean, I keep making friends, and I meet a lot of like-minded people daily. So that gives me a lot of strength, and also I keep investing in the craft. I call it a luxury to keep doing what I like to do.
Yeah, yeah. It's a luxury. But it's also, in your position, a necessity.
It is. If you think that 90% of the people, that they do a job that they don't like, yeah, it is. It is a luxury.
And because you put a lot of effort in your craft and in your work, your life, basically, because this is what you do, this is who you are.
Yeah.
What do you think people underestimate? Like, also younger people that want to start doing this, because I get a lot of DMs like, I want to be a chef. Most of the time, I just want to say,
yeah, don't.
Don't.
Yeah.
What do people underestimate about the work?
That it comes easy. I mean, it's not only about chef and cooking and serving and hospitality.
Yeah.
People in general think that
life comes easy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That it will be all beautiful.
Sometimes it's true.
yeah.
There's a lot of people in the world that have a very easy life, but that's not this profession. I think in the history of cooking, like the degenerates, they went or to the army or they went into cooking.
Yeah.
So working hard is part of the chef's DNA.
It is. I mean, in any field, I think this is the main the main thing. You have to work hard and keep doing it, keep showing up.
Yeah.
Same with cooking. It's not coming easy, but again, it's all about the journey, as they say, not the destination.
Yeah.
So you have to, yeah. You have to like this journey.
The journey. So being co-owner of Q is not the destination.
No, it is a journey. We all jump on this boat and we see where we'll go.
That's nice. Because normally you have, when you have build up to the restaurant, then it's it. But it's you just started. There are restaurants in the world that are open for 100 years. You know, it's. I think that's something I really like when I go abroad, because in Holland, there's not a lot of big institutions. When you go to Madrid or whatever, they have restaurants that are open for 150 years. Now it's quick. You want to have a nice restaurant and you want to go. I think what you said, having Q, is still part of the journey.
Yeah, it is.
Can you, because you have quite a big career span, does something come to mind when you have, like, maybe you had an eureka moment or a moment in your career where, like, fuck, this is something, when I learned this, took me to another level?
No, per se. I don't have something specific. But yeah, the beauty about being a chef and working with produce is that you're always learning. Even daily, you're learning. And this is why I like it. You're still discovering things. As I told you before with pumpkins, I didn't see it anywhere. I didn't experience that before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, having the hands in the produce and visiting farms and know what you're using and try to utilize every single thing around you keeps you... sharp.
Like when I talk to you, like I think one of the like big lines in your career is learning.
Yeah.
Is that, do you have like a point on the horizon, or you get too much information? Like, I want to learn this, I want to learn that, because you're an amazing baker as well. So your bread is on point. You do your vegetables, like knowledge of produce. Now you want to go to Japan. Do you still have focus on what you want to learn, or you just want to soak up as much information and knowledge?
Yeah, of course, you have to start from somewhere.
Yeah.
And you have to know what's your your weaknesses. I believe, even though people think that I'm good at, I believe that, again, when it comes to fish and when it comes to know how to properly treat fish, the bacteria that they live in the fish and the textures, we're talking about very small details.
Yeah.
I'm not that experienced yet. I'm going to be in 2 months, a little bit more at least.
That's the thing. Like, you see, sorry that I interrupt, but I think this is really nice about learning. You just want to say, I'm not very secure about doing this. You do it above average, but still, you want to have it sought out for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And you hope to find it in Japan?
I hope so, yeah.
Or you want to have that
sparkle? I mean, there is not another place that you can you can find that. So hopefully, yeah. And back to your question.
Yeah.
Something that it changed when I discovered, and in the beginning it was very weird. It is the single bevel knives. So the Japanese knives, not the ones that they crafted and made in Japan, but the one that the Japanese use. So the single bevel that they only sharp from one side.
From one side?
Yeah.
Difficult to use,
Difficult to use in the beginning, but once you're comfortable with it, you never look back to anything else.
Yeah.
I have three sets of amazing knives that they double beveled. and I'm not even touching them anymore. So that changed a lot. And so the way that you slicing with those and the impact you have in the textures after you slicing with the angles that the Japanese do.
Amazing. We have a partner for this for the podcast series. It's called Tabby.
And we also work with Tabby.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. Tabby is a platform that helps the hospitality entrepreneurs work smarter and more efficiently with software. So you work with Tabby. That's nice. Yeah. But in that case, we would like to have a recipe for like success. What has been the most valuable learning to work more smarter and efficiently?
Difficult. That's efficiency is the monster.
Yeah.
It is the monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, like planning and forecasting, especially with labor.
Yeah.
With the staff member.
Yeah.
You have to be very, very efficient.
Yeah.
And utilize every single minute. If you want to be cost efficient and survive throughout the years in this market.
Yeah.
So you have to plan smart.
Can you give a little example about how to plan smart? Like, is it... Yeah, it's basically staff cost.
It is staff, and it is produce. Yeah. It is cleaning products. It is everything.
Every
single thing. So you need to cut the cost.
Yeah.
That they are necessary, and then put that towards the longevity of the business and the guest experience. So, for instance, we can minimize the use of a single-use plastic and paper for cleaning purposes,
yeah,
which is also benefits the environment.
I have no clue how many kilometers of torque I had. Had exactly that.
And nowadays it's super expensive.
Yeah.
And then you put that towards, I don't know, better produce, or if you see the numbers, maybe at the end of the year, it will be as expensive as... an extra staff member that will make the life of everybody more comfortable.
Yeah,
in a business.
Yeah, more money in the business.
Yeah.
So I read a thing about 11 Madison Park that they have 5% like toy money, where they bring it back into customers or like for the guests. So you know probably the story about they overhear people that they come to New York and they didn't have a hot dog.
Yeah.
So somebody runs out and they just get like a hot dog, or they build a hot dog stand or stuff like that. He said, the rest of the restaurant, but yeah, 11 Madison Park is also another level, but they have 5% of the revenue is going back into like fun money.
Yeah, guest experience. I call it guest experience.
Yeah.
Memorable.
They can do whatever they want, but it has to go back into the company.
That's amazing.
To make sense. Like, I maybe have to say it like that.
Yeah.
So they can spend money. It doesn't have to make sense, but eventually...
It does.
People start talking about
it. Exactly. It comes back.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, for me, also very important. Like, guest experience. Wherever you go, you come back. Yeah.
Yeah. Repeaters.
Yeah. Yeah, that's can be very expensive later on if they always come back and ask for something extra, but that doesn't work like that. This podcast is also about passing it to the next generation. I heard a lot about you. You have step by step. You want to learn a lot, but you still have a big dream. Like, what's your biggest dream you want to do here, or you want to do in your career?
I mean, here we building a little bit more of a society around us. Like, more or less everybody does the same, personally or in a business.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of amazing people that they work for me. They even came in the country to work for me.
Yeah.
And now, for instance, they run their own business.
Yeah.
A great example is my friend Alex.
Yeah.
That he just opened his bakery. I just called him up. He came here. He was sleeping with me And now he's having his own business.
I heard it's thriving, eh?
Yeah,
it's
and he's doing very well.
Also, good craftsman.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So that's beautiful. And this is what I want to create. That I want to have people around, regardless if they will stay long with me or not, that they like mind it and they believe and they put the effort and they stand behind the craft.
Yeah, what you said, if they stay long or not, because there's a lot of people are relating a lot. But if they're here for a short moment of time, what are you gonna teach them?
I mean, there is, you can feel and you can tell. I never had a high turnover in any of the restaurants that I was running. So you can really tell from the beginning who is here for the long run or for the short run. Yeah. And is nothing wrong with the short run. But then again, I'm investing into people that they here for the long run, and they, not that because it's comfortable for me, but actually I can give them what I believe makes sense, and tell them the philosophy and what I think is the way to go in hospitality.
Yeah, and also for people who listen to the podcast, if they don't work with you, what's something that you want to give to them, like lesson number one, because we were talking about the long run. Lesson number one, being a chef, what's the first thing you teach them?
Yeah, number one is staying long in especially on your first work, staying long under the good wings. Learn the classics, start from, you know, building from the bottom and up. Don't go like too adventurous in the beginning.
No.
You cannot start working as your first, I don't know, experience at something that is a little bit more experimental.
Yeah.
You have to learn the basics. You need to start from the basics.
And also in a place that you have to think of yourself a little bit less. Like if you work somewhere, if you want to learn, shut up and learn. For me, that worked.
Of course.
If you can have a discussion, but if you want to learn, take a step back and be able to open up for learning. I think that's one of the worst things now. Everybody wants to be...
I mean, I think that comes a little bit later on.
Yeah.
This I think it comes with a little bit of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then is, when you think you know more than what you actually do.
Yeah. Yeah, but first learn the basics.
First, yeah, you start with the basics.
Should you learn it in school or should you learn it in a restaurant? I didn't go to culinary school. I was a dishwasher and I learned throughout work.
It's also
the hard way.
It is also a very difficult question, but depending on which school and where you're going to work.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you're going to work for a classic, very good French restaurant, probably mm-hmm. will be better than school.
Yeah.
But again, really depends on the, I would say, safer option to start with the school.
Yeah.
It is a safer option.
Or maybe a course or whatever, just...
Yeah, you learn the terminology, the basics, where everything started, a little bit of a history. Things that you have to know before you start holding a knife.
Can you learn this also by books or YouTube?
You can.
Like the simple basics.
The simple basics, yes, you can, but it's different.
Yeah.
It's different. When you have a teacher that he's spending all his life doing that.
You also have to have the smell of the kitchen. You also want to cut your fingers every week.
Yeah. You have to learn how to clean properly. You cannot learn that from YouTube.
No. And it has to be in you. Yeah. Like clean nails.
Everything starts from that.
Everything.
Yeah.
I really, really want to thank you for this podcast, man. I think we can if we stay here, we can go for 2 hours more. thanks so much.
Thank you.
Ho, wacht even. Mag ik nog een klein minuutje van je? Je kan ons namelijk helpen door Heirloom te volgen op je favoriete podcast-app en YouTube. Oh ja, en deel ons dan gelijk even via Instagram. Thanks voor het luisteren naar de Heirloom podcast. Dit eerste seizoen is mede mogelijk gemaakt door onze partners Tabby en Botan.